The more you spend time looking in the past, the less time you will have to look to the future. Hello. The more you're bound by your past, the less you're free to pursue your future.
This is Straight Talk.
Good evening. Welcome to Straight Talk Radio, a ministry of Pastor Mark Job of New Life Community Church in the city of Chicago. My name is Joshua Hollick, and we are so blessed to be able to serve you tonight the powerful, life-changing Word of God. I'm live in the studio with Pastor Mark Job. Good evening, Pastor Mark.
Hey, good evening.
God bless you. You know, there's so many people that find themselves listening to this radio station. Some of them may find themselves far from God tonight. Maybe they once followed Him and found themselves astray, or they never really knew who God was. But could you just give a word to somebody feeling like that tonight?
You know, if they're listening right now, if you're listening right now and you're far from God, I am so glad. Oh, I'm so glad that you're listening, because I believe that inside of your heart, you want to go home. You know, Joshua, it's always that way. We get homesick when we're away from our house too long. And if you really have experienced God and tasted of His goodness and walked in fellowship with God, if you're far from Him, I know that there's a homesickness inside. The Spirit of God drawing you back. And I want to remind you, it's not too late. God is a God of second chances and third chances and fourth chances and fifth chances. In fact, I love the story of the prodigal father who's just waiting for his son to come back and embraces him and hugs him. And Joshua, that's what comes to my mind right now, is the father with his arms open wide embracing the prodigal son.
What a beautiful picture. You know, Pastor Mark, do you know of a good church in the city that somebody might find themselves in on a Sunday morning?
Well, you know, I believe there's a lot of good life-giving churches around the city of Chicago. But find one that preaches the word, that worships God. And New Life, obviously, is in and around Chicago. And if you don't have a good church to go to, then we would invite you to drop by one of our locations that may be near you. And you can find a list or a map of those locations if you go to our website at www.newlifechicago.org.
Thank you, Pastor Mark. Well, we would love to have you in one of our services this Sunday. And for now, we pray you'd be greatly encouraged by the Word of God.
Thanks, Josh. Hi, everyone. Today, Pastor Mark continues his series called Relentless, Pressing On When the Pressure's On, with the second half of his message called Pressing Towards the Goal. Our text continues in the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verses 10 through 16. Here's Pastor Mark with this edition of Straight Talk.
The closer I get to Jesus, I start seeing my pride and selfishness and self-indulgenceness, and I start seeing my self-dependence, and I start seeing my irritability, and I start seeing all those issues in my life. The closer I come to the light of God, the more I realize how sinful I am and how much I have to change in my life. Listen, I've never run into a believer that's walked with God for a long time that isn't very aware of how much God needs to do in their life. The Apostle Paul says, I have not obtained. He uses the word lambano, which in the Greek means to take hold of or grasp. He says, I'm trying to reach for it, but I haven't grasped it yet. And then he uses another word, arrived at my goal, reached at my goal, teleo, which means complete or bring to an end, bring to an accomplishment or made perfect. He says, I haven't grasped it yet and I haven't completed it yet in my life because I am still under construction. I have a long way to go. There's a process that God is working in my life. And I don't consider, brothers and sisters, that I've taken hold of it. Can I just clue you into something? Scripture's very clear about this. Until the day that you die, you will be battling the flesh, the old nature. And until the day that you die, you will be under construction. Until the day you die, Christ will be formed in you. In fact, it's when you die and you release this body of sin that the Bible says you will be glorified into the image of Christ Himself. You will receive a glorified body and you will be like Christ once you die. But until you die, as long as you're on this earth, you will have to battle areas in your life that need to be changed. You are still under construction, and so am I. Tell someone beside you, I'm under construction. Come on, say it like you mean it. I'm under construction. Hey, I'm under construction. There's not a person in this auditorium that's arrived. Doesn't that make you feel good? We haven't set a section over here that says people that are arrived and people that haven't arrived. There is no arrive section in this church. There is no one that's made it yet. No one that's grasped it. No one that's fully attained. No one that lives in perfection. No one that never sins. No one that never struggles. No one that never battles the flesh. We are all being transformed by the image and the power of God and the Holy Spirit that is chiseling at us. And I run into some people that act like they've made it because I don't see them praying. I don't see them in the Word. I don't see them striving. I don't see them battling. I don't see them fasting. I don't see them, I need more of God. I see some people like, hey, I made it. There's no fire in them. There's no struggle. There's no battle. There's no pressing in. They're all almost like, well, I made it. I used to be really bad. Now I'm really good. I think I've made it. I don't have to I don't have to fast anymore. I don't have to read the Word. I don't have to repent. I don't have to press in. I don't have to battle. They act like they've made it. That, my friends, is spiritual pride. The moment you think you've made it, it's because the enemy has blinded you with pride to think you don't need to be at this altar repenting. You don't need accountability. You don't need the Word. You don't need to be broken. Because if you know Jesus and you walk close to Him, there will never be a day where you say, I don't need it anymore because I've arrived. You'll be saying, I know I haven't attained. I haven't grasped it. Christ hasn't been fully formed in me. I'm still pressing on the gas pedal. I'm still striving. I'm still letting God change me. There's a lot of stuff that needs to be transformed in my life. When I was young, I lived in a small town called Rubena. Gente mala, agua buena. That's what they used to say in the town. Bad people, good water. A few miles over the hill, there were some caves called Las Cuevas de Atapuerca. When I was a boy, these caves were wide open. You could go in there, explore the caves. Now, they're a national museum. They've discovered some ancient artifacts, and there's a whole museum. Now there's gates upon them. You can't go in whenever you went. But when I was a boy, I just went in wherever I wanted, explored these caves. There was miles and miles of underground caves. If you've ever been in a cave, it's very dark. I'm not talking about caves with lights and man-made stairs. I'm talking about the real caves. We would crawl through these little holes with flashlights. I would climb up walls. There was huge stalagmites. It was humid in there. And I would love to take people, that the city people that never been to the caves, and you know, just kind of take them to a real deep cave and turn off the flashlight, act like I was in. They would panic. Imagine being in the middle of a cave feeling like you're lost. So this was the evil part of my childhood exploits. But we would spend time in that cave. And I tell you what, when you're in the cave, crawling around, it's muddy, it's wet, it's humid. There's bats and spiders, and when you're in the cave and the light is dim, I couldn't tell how dirty I was. Because you're in the cave, it's dark. Got a little flashlight. And you're not really sure how dirty you are. But I'll never forget As we started coming out of the cave after being in there a half hour, an hour, climbing around the different places, dragging ourselves through these little holes, as you start getting close to the cave, well, first of all, your eyes aren't used to the light, so you're squinting, and it's hard to see as you're getting close to the mouth of the entrance of the cave. But as soon as my eyes would adjust a little bit to the light, I'd look to the person to the left and look to the person to the right, and I would realize how dirty they were. I hadn't noticed it in the darkness of the cave because the light wasn't very bright. I look at myself and say, whoa, am I a mess? In the cave, when the light was not too bright, everybody looked kind of clean. I didn't notice the stains, the mud, the smears on my face. But the closer you get to the brightness of the light, the more you can tell the dirt that's on you. And that's an image of our walk with God. When you just have a little bit of light in your life, and maybe you don't really understand the glory of God and holiness of God and omnipotence of God and unblemished character of God, you look at your life and say, I'm a good person. You see, because you haven't been exposed to the brightness of God, and in the dimness of your cave, you're looking at yourself and saying, I'm not that dirty. I'm not that unclean. I don't really see issues in my life. But the closer you get to the brightness of the holiness of God, suddenly you start to realize, I'm a mess. I'm really dirty. There's a lot of issues in my life. The closer I get to the brightness of the holiness of God, the more I realize how much I need to be clean, how much I need to be cleansed in my life, the more I realize how much I need the blood and sacrifice of Jesus to purify and wash me and cleanse me. That's the way it is in our spiritual life. You see, here's what I know. If you're here today and you say, well, I'm a good person. I'm a relatively good person. Here's what I know. You have not been exposed to the glory of God. Anybody exposed to the glory of God doesn't consider themselves a good person. When you're exposed to the glory of God, you start realizing, I'm a sinner. I have major issues. The brightness of the holiness of God shows you I have a long way to go. And I believe that the more mature you become in God, the more humble, the more desperate, the more hungry for the person of God you become. Number three. So not only do we admit that we have a long way to go, we have to clarify the goal, which is to know Him and the power of His suffering. Secondly, we need to admit that we still have a long way to go. Thirdly, we need to release the past with its success and failures. No one makes it to the right destination while looking in the wrong direction. The apostle said, Paul next says, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, what the goal of becoming like Christ. But one thing I do, I may not have arrived, Paul says. I may not have arrived at the destination of being like Jesus. I haven't met my goal. I don't talk like Him, act like Him, think like Him. I don't have the power that He has. I don't have the submission to the will of God like He has. But Paul says, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which Christ has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk Radio message entitled Pressing Towards the Goal, which is from Pastor Mark's radio series called Relentless, Pressing On When the Pressure's On. After tonight's broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 through 16. Pastor Mark's message, Pressing Towards the Goal.
Can I tell you this? Listen, the more you spend time looking in the past, the less time you will have to look to the future. Hello. The more you're bound by your past, the less you're free to pursue your future. Or said in other words, releasing the past frees your hand to grasp the future. Paul says, I may not have arrived, but I do know this. I will not allow my past successes or my past failures to be the obsession of my concentration and my focus. I'm going to forget what is behind me. Listen, if you've had a really good past and you've had a lot of success and you're doing well, it's easy to look at your past and say, look at my track record. I can rest now because I've done so well. And you could just stop pursuing God because you think, hey, look how well I'm doing. And it demotivates you from pursuing because you think you've arrived and you're doing well. Or you can look at your past and say, man, all I've done is fail. I failed last year, failed this year. I'm a mess. I keep blowing it, keep falling, can't live consistent, keep giving into temptation. And you can look at your past and feel like, forget it. I'm never going to make it, so I might as well give up. So if you look at your past and you've had successes, you get demotivated. If you look at your past and you've had failures, you also get demotivated. And so what Paul says is, I'm not going to focus on my past. I'm not going to be concentrating on what happened last year or 3 months ago or 2 years ago. I'm going to forget what is behind me, because every day is a new day. The mercies of God are new every morning. Oh, I wish I could preach this. Listen. Some people are hindered by the glory days. And some people are hindered by the gory days. Some of you, it's like that guy that was a quarterback in high school. And when he was in high school, everybody thought he was the most popular guy. When he walked down the halls of his high school, everybody was like, he's the man. If you were his friend, you were in the popular crowd. He was the guy. And his glory days were high school. Now he's 40 years old. He's still wearing his worn out quarterback. All he wants to talk about is the good old days. You remember those days? Man, it was fun. Those are his glory days. And he lives back there. He still has his hairstyle the way they did in the 80s. He's rocking that mullet. Man, they're just, you know, he really thinks. Those were the glory days. And when you get around him, all he wants to talk about is those days. Oh, man, it was great, wasn't it? Oh, man, we had some good times. Oh, man, that was beautiful. Remember the parties. Remember why? Because that's the highlight of his life. I'm going to tell you what. If you're stuck in a past when there were the glory days, you can't embrace your future and have God do something in you now, because all you're focused on is how good it was back then. Those people never focus on the future, the present. They never pursue anything here because they're always talking about the old glory days. You know, I've run into Christians that way. You had a season of your life where God was really working. Maybe you were a young believer and you were on fire for God and preaching. People were coming to Christ. There was change that's happened. And you always talk about what happened 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 14 years ago. All your stories are old stories about God. There's never any new stories. There's no fresh testimonies. At your small group, when someone says, hey, does anybody have anything to share? You raise your hand and say, you know, 10 years ago, I remember Jesus saved me. It was so good. And I spoke to my cousin about it, and he came to Christ. Oh, those were beautiful days. Hey, I'm glad you have a history. Let me ask you a question. Do you have any new stories? What's God been doing in your life lately? What is the work of God now? What's been happening in your life now that you can point to and say, thank God he's alive and well. Look at what he's doing now in my life. I have some new stories. I have a new testimony. Listen, I'm not living off of old anointing, old oil. I have new, fresh oil today of what God is doing. I want to hear some fresh stories about what God is doing in your life. I read about a blogger runner was writing about running cross country in competition. And he says, I used to love to see someone look back. I saw it as a sign of weakness. As soon as he looked back, I knew he was scared, which meant he was starting to struggle. He's talking about cross-country running. If you're running, they always tell you, don't look back. Don't look back. When I caught someone looking back, it was such a mental surge. I was stronger than my prey. I could track them down easily. Not only does looking back give others a mental edge, it actually slows you down. For a moment, you're not aligned with your natural running motion. For the stride you twisted are off balance, and sometimes this stride can make all of the difference. Why? Because you're looking back. Paul says, forgetting what lies behind. I don't know what's behind you. Maybe you've had a terrible year. Maybe you've really blown it recently. Maybe you have a track record of really messing up and you look and there's shame. It's hard for you to raise your face to God and feel the power and radiance of God because you feel like I've blown it. Forgetting what lies behind. Or maybe you're all puffed up in proud pride and you have trophies of your past exploits, but nothing new. Forgetting what lies behind and pressing forward for what is ahead. That's how we keep growing. Luke 9:61 says, still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Jesus replied, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the service of the kingdom of God. If you're going to work for God and plow, you look forward, not back. Amen? Number four and lastly, I close with this. Press on towards the ultimate goal of your calling. If you're not moving forward, listen to me. If you're not moving forward, you're backsliding. The Apostle Paul says in verse 14, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. You have a high calling. But listen, the only way that you're going to reach that calling is you got to press into it. You got to fight for it. You got to get up and pursue it. In fact, let me tell you, this word press on in the Greek is the word diako. It's often translated to persecute. Here it means to move rapidly and decisively towards an objective. Hasten, run, press on. The root word of this press on is to chase. Hey, let me tell you this. God wants you to be a God chaser. He says, I chase after my calling. Have you ever been in a hot pursuit of something? You're chasing after something. You want to catch it. I mean, you're looking for it. I've been hunting before and it's a hot pursuit. I remember hunting after wild pig, wild boar, javalis they call them. And running with the dogs. And we're chasing after these wild boars that if they turn around are pretty dangerous. But chasing after them. And it's a pursuit. I mean, you're going after it. God says, I want you to pursue. Listen, he says, I want you to pursue. Press on towards the goal to win the prize to which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. There's a calling that you have on your life. Chase it. There's a purpose that you have for your life. Chase it. Follow hard after it. Pursue it. Get up on your feet and say, I'm going to pursue my high calling. I'm going to pursue the mission that God has for me. And part of my goal is to be like Jesus. Is to know Him. And to be like Him. And to be resurrected with Him. I'm not going to wait for it to come to me. I'm going to chase after my higher calling to live for God and to be what God wants me to be and to know Him and to know His power. But I'm going to be a God chaser. I'm going to get up in the morning and chase after God. During the day, I'm going to chase after God. During the week, I'm going to ask myself, God, how am I pursuing you? Because I have a purpose. I have a vision. I have a call on my life. I'm not just in neutral until I die or until Jesus comes again. I'm going to pursue rapidly, passionately, energetically the things that God has for my life. I'm chasing after it. I need some God chasers in the house. I'm looking for some God chasers. I'm looking for some people that are not afraid to run after God.
You have been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe, Senior Pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago and President of Moody Bible Institute, with the second half of his message called Pressing Towards the Goal. It's part of our series called Relentless, Pressing On When the Pressure's On. Please join us again on the next Straight Talk for Part 3. As I mentioned in the middle of our program, we have a great way for you to get this broadcast for free. Just subscribe to our Straight Talk radio app. It's free, and you can find it at PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find over 400 other messages, great resources, and a link to our New Life Community Church page, as well as Pastor Mark's 2020 vision and our New Life locations. We hope that you check it out. There are 27 life-giving churches around Chicago, and if you would like to know more information about them, just go to www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. Be sure you tell them you heard about New Life from the Straight Talk radio program. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark, myself, and our Straight Talk team. We thank you so much for listening. Please do tune in again and tell a friend about our Straight Talk radio program. Have a great evening, and God bless.